Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, September 28th, 2016 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Altair Taylor, who is the in charge of the hearing today and running the controls. I'd like to begin with a few general information items. First, the order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public testimony in opposition to the project sponsor will be provided a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and make a decision today, continue the item to a later date, or take the matter under advisement for a decision at a later time. There's one item on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are considered routine. If someone would like to speak on the item, please step forward. Otherwise, that item would be granted. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda. And the criteria for justifying a variance are outlined in Planning Code Section 305C and state that in order to justify granting a variance, the zoning administrator must determine the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And lastly, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months for a decision letter to be issued following this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets on the far wall. That's very important because it is the decision letter which is the appealable action, not any decision at today's hearing. And the decision letter may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the issuance of the letter. Other items, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and discuss the projects, we ask that that be done outside of the hearing so as to avoid disturbing others. Audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. We also have two other housekeeping items that involve continuances of two items that are on the calendar for today. The first is item number three for 1234 to 1268 Grant Avenue with the proposal to continue to October 22nd.
26.
October 26th. My understanding that there have been revisions to the proposal that will necessitate additional variances, and so the project will be re-noticed for that hearing date. The other item is the last item on the agenda, item number 11. It's my understanding there have been two discretionary review requests filed on the application during the Section 311 notification. As standard practice, when discretionary reviews are filed prior to a variance hearing, we do consolidate the items into one hearing. At this point, we do not yet have a date for the DR hearing, but it is likely to be no earlier than January of 2017, given that that's when the Planning Commission's current calendars have openings. So is there anyone who would like to speak on the two items that we have for continuance? And again, item number three for 1234, 1268 Grant Avenue, continuance to Wednesday, October 26th, the next regularly scheduled variance hearing, which, as I noted, will also be re-noticed. And indefinite continuance for item number 11, 2600 Pacific Avenue, which will be re-noticed for a joint discretionary review variance hearing. Any public comment on those two items? Seeing none, item number three is continued 1 month and will be renoticed. Item number 11 is continued indefinitely and will be renoticed as part of the DR hearing, and we can go to consent.
Our first item will be a consent calendar. Case number 2015-012123-VAR, 100 Terra Vista Avenue, usable open space variance sought.
Is there any public comment on item number one for 100 Terra Vista Avenue? If there is no public comment, this item would be granted as a consent item. Seeing no public comment on item number one, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance as a consent item, and we can move on to the regular calendar.
On our regular calendar, first item, case number 2015-003919 VAR. 240 Chenery Street, rear yard and non-complying structure enlargement variances sought. Is the project sponsor here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello, my name is Michael.
Can you please go to the mic or have the mic close to you? Because we're recording this.
Yes. Okay. Good morning. My name is Michael Gao. And our project is at 240 Chenery Street. The project consists of a repair. Let me see if I can do this. Is it in focus? Yeah. There we go. Our project is the repair and renovation of a fire-damaged building. And we are seeking the variance because this is a non-conforming structure in the rear part of the property. And we will be needing this variance in order to be able to perform and execute the work. As you can see, the house is also, despite being fire damaged, the rear of the house was not touched by the fire. But as you can see, it has always been a great state of disrepair. When our clients purchased it from the adjacent neighbor, the house was being lived in by his son, who would be there once in a while and not taking very good care of the property. We have been working very diligently with our neighbors, a total of eight, for the past year and a half. And from the very beginning of the pre-application process, and there were about eight neighbors who attended the meeting. And we have been very good about meeting with them and coming up to solutions that now we have won the support of all of the neighbors who originally expressed any concerns. Through the 311 process, that was true as well. There were two DRs filed. We met with those neighbors and then also came to a resolution that everybody was happy with. And only very recently have we become aware there's another rear neighbor who was notified of both the pre-application neighborhood meeting as well as the 311, but attended neither. We have reached out numerous times to try to communicate and come to a resolution, explain the nature of the project, but we've been denied. And the last we heard from the neighbor is through his attorney. We are very happy still, despite how much time we've spent on this project working with neighbors and surprisingly made quite a few new friendships. We have letters of support from almost all the neighbors we have been working with. And applauding not only the project solution, the respectful nature of the process, and the final resolution. So where we are is also at a point where we are still very open to meeting with either the neighbor or the attorney and coming to some amiable solution. I would just like to point out the true nature of the project, which now that our planner has notified me what the main concerns are, I fear that there might be a misunderstanding of the neighbor's interpretation of the project. This is the survey, and then hatched in the dark shadow is the nature of the project in terms of addition beyond the building envelope. The gross net square feet is really 156, and the net square feet is 126, which is what most homeowners will recognize. We are only adding on the ground level, and then the rest of the addition is in the basement level. We did that intentionally at the very early negotiation with neighbors to make sure that any addition we do stays at a ground level. The experience of the building at the end, here's a simplified diagram for that, is that for the about 14 feet, we are only at one level, and the express second floor is exactly the same as the original house. That would be really where we are. The main reason for seeking this variance is, again, to be able to execute repairs and renovation of an existing building that's been damaged by fire, the design of which we are still very happy to talk to our rear neighbor. We've been more than open to doing so for the past year and a half, and now have the support of everyone we've talked to, with the exception of this neighbor who's not open to communication besides through his lawyer. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's my understanding during the 311 neighborhood notification, there were two discretionary review requests that were filed. The project also includes, as you noted, the new construction at the front of the property, and there were revisions made to that portion of the project as part of the discretionary review that resulted in the withdrawal of the two discretionary review requests.
Correct.
And the main points of contention in those DRs were the front building, not the rear building.
Well, in the beginning of the, right after the neighborhood pre-application meeting, two adjacent neighbors to this new neighbor who is expressing concern came to us immediately. And we worked with them for about 3 to 4 months. And these are neighbors immediately adjacent to the neighbor who's not happy with expressing concern. So before the 311 notification process even started, we already resolved any issues we had with those two rear neighbors, adjacent neighbors as well, and then even one that came up right before 311 notification. So we've been the only two neighbors, the only neighbors that didn't file the DR were actually husband and wife across the street. And we worked with them for about a month and a half and came to a resolution, which then had more to do with the building in the front.
Okay. Can you just briefly detail some of the changes that were made to the project as part of the discussions with the neighbors to the rear?
Kind of yes. Initially? From the beginning, they expressed that they would like to see the house massing to be the same as what it is now. So we originally, the scheme shown to the client had two additional bedrooms on the second floor. So those were removed immediately as a resolution to their concerns. So pretty aggressive changes to the proposed scheme. The clients really want it to be a project that they're proud of and the neighbors are happy with. It's unfortunate that we just simply haven't had a chance to have any communication with this neighbor who only expressed concern a few weeks back.
Okay. And then one of the exhibits that you showed was the site survey. Can you put that back up on the overhead?
Yes.
It's my understanding there had been some concerns about whether or not the building encroaches over, or a portion of the building encroaches right over an adjacent property. And does the site survey show any encroachment over the property lines?
It does not.
Okay. And all the plans that I've seen do not show any encroachment over the property lines. And what's the date of this survey? Is this a signed survey as well?
Quite a while ago, almost 2 years ago.
Okay. And this is a signed survey?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? We're on the regular calendar for 240 Chenery Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Richard Drury with the law firm Lozo Drury, and I'm representing Mr. Knut Akseth, whose property is immediately adjacent to the subject property to the rear. On the overhead here, Mr. Akseth's property is shown as lot 26, and the subject property is lot 6A. Currently, I think there's been a massive mischaracterization of the project. This is not a simple reconstruction of an existing nonconforming use. Currently on the property, there is a small 1,200-square-foot home at the rear of the property. The project would replace that home entirely with a 2,890-square-foot home, more than twice as large, in the rear of the property that would be 6 feet from Mr. Access property. It would also build a brand new 5,400-square-foot home at the front of the property. So it's not just reconstructing a fire-damaged home. It's building two much, much larger new homes on the property where there's currently one small home. This violates the entire intent of the zoning code, which is to eliminate nonconforming uses, with minor exceptions when 5 findings can be made for a variance. Here, the application is to seek a variance from Section 134. 134 requires a rear yard setback of 45% of the lot space. The entire new home at the rear of the yard sits within that rear yard setback, which should be 65 foot long because of the depth of the property is 146 feet. So this entire rear home is within the setback area. Also, the developer seeks a variance from Section 188, which prohibits expansions of existing nonconforming uses. I'd like to point out first that the project violates several other provisions of the zoning code. So even if the variances are granted, the project can't be approved. Section 181 says there should be no expansion of a nonconforming use outside of the structure. Well, the developer already admitted that the expansion goes beyond the existing structure. It also prohibits an expansion of size of more than 50% of the existing structure. The new structure is 140% larger than the pre-existing structure, so they're more than doubling the size. 181 also prohibits alterations that are more than one-half of the assessed value of the existing structure. The existing structure assessed value is $450,000. The new project cost is $760,000, far more than 50%. 183 says that a nonconforming use must be eliminated if it's abandoned or discontinued in use. The prior owner of the property here, Ernie Solon, after it burned down, abandoned the property, never moved back. Therefore, that's the discontinuance and abandonment of an existing nonconforming use, and it can't not be reconstructed. Now, Mr. Axseth is not opposed to a project that conforms with the code being built on the property, which would be at the front half of the property, but not a reconstruction of a nonconforming use that's been abandoned at the rear of the property.
Thank you. So did your client participate in the community outreach meeting that was held before the project was even submitted?
I don't know. I understand from Mr. Axseth that he did not receive notice of the three. He did not receive the 311 notice, and he was also at that time his wife was very ill, and he was focused on her very serious health condition at the time. But I'm informed that he did not receive the 311 notice, despite the fact that he's immediately adjacent to the property.
Okay. And how long has your client owned the property?
A long time. He's actually here in the audience, and I believe he's going to say some statements. But he's been in that property for a long period of time. Another neighbor is also here, expressing concerns, and I think a lot of the neighbors who did participate, the focus was all on the front home, in the front half of the lot, and the developer agreed to scale that back.
Okay. And in terms of the community outreach meeting, did he receive notice of the community outreach meeting?
I don't know.
And in your briefing materials and at the hearing today, you're referring to this as a nonconforming use. Can you please state your reasons for making that conclusion that this is a nonconforming use?
The existing or the proposed?
The existing.
Oh, because it's entirely within the setback area. I don't think there's any dispute that it's a pre-existing nonconforming use.
Well, so, I mean, the code does make clarifications or distinctions between nonconforming uses which are not currently permitted under the planning code. This is a residential use in a residential district. It doesn't exceed the density that's allowed by the district, so it actually wouldn't be classified as a nonconforming use.
Well, it's within the setback area that the code would require.
So it's a non-compliant structure. So I just want to be clear, because a lot of the brief and the arguments and the code sections cited in your brief relate to nonconforming use, and this is not a nonconforming use. It is a non-complying structure, and I would agree with that, but it is not a nonconforming use because use is residential. Residential is principally permitted in this district. It doesn't exceed the density limitations.
Well, it is a residential use, although the prior owner also was using it as a commercial sign shop for many years, which is another concern that we have. The CEQA exemptions that have been granted for the project are not allowed, one, if there's an expansion of more than 1,000 feet. This is a 1,600-foot expansion. But also, if there's any suspicion of hazardous materials on the site. And here, the sign painting at that time most likely used lead paint, most likely used toxic solvents, and there should at least be a Phase 1 remedial study done to determine if there's hazardous materials in the soil.
I mean, it doesn't seem to have been a permitted use, but you're stating that the use existed nonetheless, and what evidence do you have to support the history of the use?
We've submitted a newspaper article from the Glen Park News that shows that the facility was used for a long time as a sign painting shop. The prior owner, Mr. Ernie Solon, has stated that his sign painting shop was operated out of the basement of that facility.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on this item for 240 Chenery Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator. I'm Mr. Axet. I own the property directly to the west at 225 Whitney Street. I've owned that since 1999, but I've lived on Whitney Street since 1978. And there are 40-plus houses on the block of 6685. Each of those lots has one dwelling. What's proposed is two for this one. I cannot see why that should be permitted. I think the building should be moved down to Chenery Street and expanded to make two nice dwelling units. The issue of whether I got notice or not has been raised. I did receive the first notice. At the same time, my wife was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia last year, so I was unable to attend that. She got a bone marrow transplant at Stanford in July of last year, and it has occupied a lot of my time. I understand that there was a discretionary review noted. I have not received anything but three letters that arrived in the mail dated. I got them on August 25th. I was taken aback because I had expected something about what was happening at 240 Chenery before. I had just a few days to start scrambling and put things together. And I was here for the meeting, the hearing that was scheduled for the 8th, and I asked for a continuance because there was a discrepancy in the, where the room was supposed to be held, and that was granted. And we're here today, and I'm obviously very upset. I own the property right behind it. I have a retaining wall that's about to fall over, and the proponent proposes to dig way down within 6 feet of my property and expand the house way beyond what's being represented here. So I ask that you disallow the variance.
Okay, thank you. So I'd just like to understand the primary concerns are related to the rear structure, not the front structure.
I am not opposed to reasonable development. Okay. That house that's there now was moved there, from my, I understand, in the 20s. I thought it was much older. It was moved there in the 20s. I do not see why can't they just move it back down closer to Chenery Street, expand it, make two nice units, and not make the house sit in the middle of the block where every other yard is huge. The next neighbor beyond mine is 200 feet away, and he is 6 feet away. It's right there. I find it totally unreasonable that this thing should sit there in the middle of the block when there is nothing else around. The lot is huge. They could bring it down to Chenery Street, and from, given the fact that the house is or the lot is 146 feet long, my calculation said they could build a house that's 80 feet long into the yard and do a reasonable development. I'm all for that. I'm very much against expanding something that's triple the size, and I'm also very upset about seeing it's being misrepresented as 156 feet of additional space. That is not true. And the footprint that's shown shows some additions that obviously have been hammered onto the back of the house. On the record of the assessor is 1,200 square feet, and that's about right, about 600 square feet per story. What's in the assessor's record, I do not believe include, pardon the expression, funky addition that's been added on the back of the house. That's not doesn't even have a foundation on it. It just sits on some sort of stilts.
I think so. You've owned the property since 1999. Have there been any additions to the subject property since that time that you've observed, or it's
no.
just been it's been there for quite some time?
No.
Okay. And then you've expressed concerns about the expansion of the building, you know, above grade as well as the excavation. And if the envelope of the building were to remain the same, would you still have objections?
I would have objections because there is plenty of room on the property. And since there is no structure on the lower part, they could build a nice foundation, move the house down, put it on top of that, and enlarge the structure as need be. I see nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so it's just the fact that they will keep the building in its current location is is the issue, that you don't see any way of moving forward without relocating or essentially demolishing that structure and having it.
Well, I hate to see perfectly if the house is in good shape that it could be demolished, but given what I see from the demolition plan, it seems like only one wall is left standing, and it's basically explodes the size of the house, and digging way down to make a whole new level underground, basically. And that would extend within 6 feet of my backyard. And the soil on that hillside is very, very mushy. Several years back, there was a 235, a major development. They built two nice condos. And the whole place turned into a muddy pit. And I understand that the whole clay structure is very, very susceptible to liquefaction if under rainy conditions. And as I said, my retaining wall is already leaning over at an 82-degree angle and digging within 6 feet. And if you figure foundation and whatnot, I guess they got to go down to 8 or 9 feet. It could compromise the stability of the hillside. And I don't want to be injured. I don't want my property injured. I don't want to suffer.
I did see the photos about the retaining wall. Is the retaining wall on your property, or is it on...
I don't know. I haven't had it surveyed.
Okay. But it looks like it's been in that kind of condition for quite some time.
Yes.
Have you made any efforts
to... The reason I believe it's still standing up is there's a shed built up against it. If that shed was removed, it would probably fall over.
Okay. But you haven't made any efforts to... kind of determine the boundaries of your property to...
No, but I will now.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Is there any other public comment on this item for 240 Chenery Street?
Am I able to just respond?
There will be a three-minute rebuttal at the end where you can respond.
You have 3 minutes to, sir.
Thank you. My name is Dan Schaff. I live at 155 Fairmount Street, and I'd like to say I'm not opposed to this project. I just want to... illustrate some things that I noticed about the development. And I first want to say that Michael's been great. He has we live directly north of the rear building, and he's addressed a lot of our privacy concerns and worked with us. So we're not opposed to development or redevelopment of this property. But I just want to show some figures. So this is the area of the block where the proposed development is. What we're looking at is the current, within that block, the current floor developed area within that block. With the proposed project, that's the developed floor area within our block. Now, granted, there are going to be two units on that site. So if you break it down by units, that's our current average unit size. And I admit I took the average of the unit, the floor area divided by the number of units. So if there was three units, I divided the total area by three. So, and with the project, so what I did is I assumed, I think, 8,000 square feet of development on that lot, and there's two units, so about 4,000. So I just want the that to be taken into consideration. Again, my wife and I are not opposed to this, and we're not necessarily opposed to any variance for that, but we just wanted that to kind of be noted that this is kind of maybe out of character a little bit with our neighborhood. But again, Michael's been great, and he has addressed our concerns on that rear building.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the charts. Actually, if you have copies of that you could provide, it would be great. We have one copy. It would be fine. We could, for our file. Thank you. But if you have additional copies, if you could provide it to the project sponsor, that'd be great, too. Thank you. Any other members of the public, please step forward.
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. Hello, my name is Joseph Inferrera, and I just wanted to speak this morning to put a human side on this. We've had a lot of numbers. I was raised at 236 Chenery Street. My parents bought the house in 1962, so I've been there the whole time. My stepdad still lives there. My mom's ashes are on the mantle. One of the things when we first found out that Ernie, the older gentleman, who, by the way, did have his own sign shop in the garage. I've seen it for the last 50-odd years. He had trucks in and out, stuff everywhere. In fact, I believe that's how the fire started. So there definitely is something down there. That's for sure. First thing, myself, my family, my neighbors, when we saw the scope of what was about to be built, it's a very unique site. There's an older, almost like a farmhouse. When you drive by, people look. They look, they see this beautiful front yard that was kept kind of fun and funky by the owner. That's going to be gone. And suddenly, through the magic of planning, there's going to be two full-blown houses on one lot, which there's no other word to use, destroys the block. There's really no other way to put it. And so I think the one thing I felt very strongly, I'm starting to understand how this works. An architect comes in, basically tries to get every square inch he can to maximize profits. The neighbors band together. They put up a united front to scale it down to make it fit more inside the neighborhood with the adjoining houses. These are all single-family residents, a lot of them built in the teens and the 20s. When I first saw the blueprints for the front house, it didn't fit at all. And then that was not even taking in consideration of the back house. So now where we're at is there's been a DR. It's been publicly worked within the neighborhood. They have made some design changes, which again, nobody wants that front house, but it's there now. So that part seems to have been taken care of for the architect. Now, for the neighbors, this rear house, I can't understand, just as a public person and somebody who's lived in that neighborhood for the past 50 plus years, why do you need any more? Why do you need a variance for more space? You're already building on every single square inch of that property that you can, and now you want to go beyond that. I feel, if anything, things need to be scaled back. And that's what the neighbors feel. That's truly what the neighbors feel. This project is too big, too massive, two brand new gigantic homes on a lot that used to have one. And that's where we're at right now. So personally, I had to step. I wasn't planning on speaking, but I wanted to make sure that you know that the neighbors themselves are very concerned about the sheer scope of this. And if this one meeting can help scale back to at least be within the legal ramifications of what we're doing, I just don't understand why we have to give more. And I'll leave you with this. My father, born in North Beach, 83 years old, told me two things. Don't be greedy. And just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And like I said, it's my first time ever speaking in front of all of you, and I think it's a very, very good forum. Thank you for letting me have this moment to express my own feelings. And let's just see where it all falls. But yes, I'd like to see the letter of the law followed here, because don't be greedy, and just because you can doesn't mean you should. Thank you.
Just so one question. So in terms of the rear building, which is the entirety of what it would be before me today, yes, is the expansion of that, yes, building. As I understand it, your position would be that it not be expanded, but also perhaps that it be reduced?
It was always the beautiful house. I can't explain. Unless you grew up on that block like I did, and like I said, I appreciate your hard work, but, you know, the architect, they're in and they're out, and we'll never see them again. In the meantime, we all live there, and it's hopefully going to be the home I inherit. You know, I don't want to say I'm going to die in it. Who knows what's going to happen? But the rear house was always a beautiful, beautiful older home. And we couldn't understand, the neighbors, why you couldn't just embellish that, fix that up, glorify that, make the front yard beautiful, fence it off. You know, it would have been such a unique property. It's like when you drive on Monterey Boulevard and you see the Sunnyside, I think it's the Sunnyside, mm-hmm, Conservatory. It's that kind of a unique thing where you stop. That's going to be gone. So now there's just a monolith in front. And in the back, in the middle of the block, there's a second house now. Like I said, through the wonders of planning, you're able to put two full-size homes on one plot. The rear house, if anything, should be restored in all its glory. It doesn't need to be expanded, rebuilt, blown up. And yes, that rear part was, I believe, put on illegally many, many years ago for the sun. And that's where, it's at right now. So, you know, the home, if it doesn't conform currently, I don't see any reason to waive anything because it wasn't like that to start with. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
and so we just thought, well, if you're going to get the opportunity to build this huge thing up front, huge, enormous, four stories. There's nothing over three stories on the entire block. Four stories, balconies, people hanging over the sides. If you're going to do this, then everyone assumed at least the rear home would be restored.
Okay.
Because everyone has to see it. Every single neighbor on that block, their backyards go to this house.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on the item for 240 Chenery Street? If there's no other public comment, then project sponsor, you'd have a three-minute rebuttal.
So I'd like to just speak from the heart.
I
don't think of myself just as an architect. I don't think of Mr. Drury as an attorney. I see all of us with potential conflicts that might be resolved just through open dialogue. Again, we're still very open to that. And I also don't think of myself as an architect that walks in and walks out. I am a gay man. Each creation is my child. My best friends are my clients. I would literally say my best friends are my clients. So my godson is my client's son. Each project I take great pride in. I just wish that we weren't having this dialogue here and that we could have done it prior to this, because I love the passion of the last neighbor who spoke, and I think that kind of input could greatly influence and better the project. But we didn't hear from them. Even so, I'm still very happy to meet with them, and so are the clients. These clients take great pride in their project. I do take offense at any suggestion that there's misrepresentation of what we're showing today. And that could have been avoided simply with a meeting face-to-face, so I can explain the project. The house the client bought at the rear property certainly is not 1,200 square feet for what he paid. It was a 2,300 square feet existing house, and that's what Ernie, who we also really love and cherish, the neighbor who sold the property, sold to our client. It's a 2,300 square feet house that now has become 2,785. The difference is 400 some square feet. If that's an issue for our rear neighbor, we would like to have heard it early on. We have adjusted design over and over again as a solution and as a sign of respect to our neighbors. So I would just love to know if there's a possibility for open dialogue, ideally between neighbors and not with lawyers. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a couple questions. So there was issue raised about the legality of the existing structure and whether or not there had been unpermitted expansions of the building. Did you run a permit history as part of your background on the project?
We did. So Ernie was very frank that he had built this property in the back, but what was sold to the client at the end of the day is the entirety of that house, and this only house that sits on the lot. So when we did our as-built, what the numbers we came back with is 2305, and that's why we put that on the records. We're not trying to misrepresent anything. That's really what it says.
So, I mean, based upon what your review, you did find that there were unpermitted expansions of the building.
We couldn't find records of that.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for being clear on that. Another issue was raised about the fire. Was the fire caused because of the sign shop? Do we know?
We do not know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how, I mean...
Well, there's this, I mean, it's in respect for Ernie. I prefer not to talk about what his speculation is about why there was a fire. But it had to be family related.
Okay. And then in terms of the project, and, you know, you've already scaled it down in response to... at the rear building in response to concerns raised by
greatly
neighbors.
So. Over, you, yes, greatly so.
Have you looked at just doing a restoration of the building as it is? I mean, which I know you're proposing a very minor expansion from what there is currently, but have you looked at not doing any expansion of the building envelope at all?
Well, we reduced it quite a bit from what we originally were hoping that we would propose based on neighborhood meetings. And they were very happy with what we proposed at the end, because the majority of it's one level and then not really seeing. Their main concern is their view from their backyard and a sense of privacy. We also scaled down dramatically any window opening, so all the windows have been scaled down as well. There was at one time a larger bay, and that's been scaled down. So their main concerns of the two neighbors adjacent to Mr. Asketh, who I'm only meeting now, is that... they didn't want a lot of night emission, So we reduced the window openings. They wanted to protect their sense of privacy and therefore that as well. And then they would prefer not to have two bedrooms above the existing one-story condition. So we removed that very early on.
What's the intended occupancy of the building? You have a client who bought this property. Do they intend to reside in the property, or is this?
No, they're developers. So they're very proud of the work they do and want to immediately say we're going to keep the facade and keep the building as much as we, the appearance of the building to be the same. So we're just working around the perimeters of the existing and trying to make some of the spaces work. So there are very awkward spaces, and currently there are attic bedrooms that have very low ceilings, so therefore why we're asking for to add one dormer. And but in general, we're keeping the color the same. The neighbors in the rear really like the farmhouse feel. The entire house will be painted white again. We're restoring wherever we can. Much of it has been damaged. We're happy to replicate the molding details. A lot of it were not in great shape and been damaged even with wood rot before the fire came along. There's a weather vane that we're sending out to be restored. And so we're doing our best with, and I take great pride in that. I think it is a beautiful house, and I was the first to advocate that we restore as is. It would be very challenging to move that house down the hill without it completely falling apart. So we looked into that as well. But I think the positioning of it is interesting and beautiful, and I think the character is still there, and we can restore it and make it even grander than it was before.
Do they intend
and more beautiful. But we're really not increasing square footage. We're not doubling the house.
So do they intend to make this condominiums then? Would this be a condominium development in the end? They would.
It would be, yes, two condos on one lot. Yes.
Okay. And what year was the fire again?
I'm sorry?
What year was the fire? Was that
2015.
15, mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's before that, before we came on site.
2014?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. I mean, I think that there is a lot of goodwill here. I'm hearing certainly on the part of the project sponsor, who's already demonstrated through this process that they are willing to meet with neighbors to discuss. We've heard kind of testimony to that tonight, this morning, sorry. at this point, I'd be inclined to take the matter under advisement. I would like the parties to meet and discuss. Mr. Drury, is that something that your client would commit to actually having a meeting with the project sponsor to discuss these concerns?
Yes, we would. We tried to schedule a meeting, but I think Mr. Powell was not available on Friday, and
okay.
I was not available on Monday. And
okay.
Well,
we look forward to having, and it could be certainly a wider pool, but certainly I think addressing the concerns of your client would be a good next step here, and we hear a commitment from the project sponsor to meet and to discuss. So at this point, I'll take the matter under advisement. We'll review the materials that were submitted for this hearing. We'll also look forward to hearing back from the parties about the results of their discussions and what possible compromises. I mean, certainly the planning code and all of our policies do encourage the retention of existing structures. So, in terms of retaining the existing structure and its location, that would be my inclination. But hopefully the parties can discuss about what possible modifications there can be to that structure to address the concerns of the neighbor. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
So item number two of the regular calendar, case number 2016-000663-VAR. 1547 to 1551 Franklin Street, dwelling unit exposure variance sought. Is the project sponsor here?
Yes.
Please approach the mic, ma'am. You have 5 minutes. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are proposing an additional unit, an accessory dwelling, which was approved in, what year was it?
We applied for the two units in 2016, January 11th, per the seismic ordinance 34B, and then the ordinance changed, and we are now only allowed one unit, and so we're just trying to get the variance for the unit in the rear of the building, for it doesn't meet the open space requirements, the rear yard open space
requirements. The exposure requirement.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but just to clarify, it's my understanding, and yes, exactly my understanding, that you know you applied for it at the time where it was allowed.
Yeah.
The law has changed. It is no longer allowed for this size of building, the number of units that you're seeking. But you had several years ago obtained a conditional use authorization to add one unit.
Yes.
And so your goal is to, which that permit has already been issued, your goal is to revise that issued permit to have just that one unit that was approved under the CU be essentially at the front of the property.
Correct.
And then you would, through this ADU process, the accessory dwelling unit process, you would have that be the unit at the rear. Still adding two units.
Yes.
From what's there now, but just in a different process.
Right, different process, exactly.
Okay. All right, thank you. We'll see if they have anything else to add. We'll see if there's any public comment on this.
Do you have any questions for us?
No, I mean, I think that it was helpful to understand, and staff did explain that, you know, where the revised thinking that you had about the project to achieve your goal. So
Because we were in the process of it, and then we kind of got, I'm you know, not grandfathering the applications that were already in the queue is kind of disappointing and frustrating, but I'm hoping that this kind of solves the problem.
Our staff had to make several of those calls, so
yeah,
not the only ones. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item number two for 1547 to 1551 Franklin. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the revised proposal as put forward by the project sponsor to allow the addition of two dwelling units, one through the existing conditional use authorization and building permit application, and one now through this ADU process as allowed under the current rules.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving to item number three, which is actually continued to October 26th, that is 1234 to 1268 Grant Avenue, rear yard variance sought. So moving on to item number four, case number 2016-007267 VAR, 2701 21st Street, rear yard, open space, and street frontage variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay, my name is Alan Martinez. I'm the project architect. This is a project. Actually, I don't know if this is going to really fit. So. There's an existing garage here, small garage, and a rather large historic structure on the corner that has three units. They're all large units. We are remodeling the building, restoring it, and also added space in the attic. So the top unit is now three bedrooms, plus a family room, plus a deck that was added. So these are all family-sized units, but this existing garage is barely a two-car garage. So, you know, the circumstance is that this is a historic building. We can't raise it up. We can't dig down underneath it to add another parking space. We can't really alter the exterior in other than a minor way. We figured out that by adding a 1'9" to the width of this garage and 2'1" to the height, we can get in a parking machine with a pit over here away from the neighbor and get three cars in. And we kind of feel like this is appropriate to these family size units. So it's hard, you know, I know people who are raising kids with a bike, but it's tough. I mean, with a kid, you generally have to have a car. So we aren't going to expand the driveway width. We can make do with what we've got because it's basically two car widths. And so I'm proposing there'll be a sloped roof in front because the parking machine just requires the height towards the back. So that's what we're asking for. I mean, we feel that, you know, the expansion is so minor. It was under the bar of having to notify the neighbors. We put up the sign. But the effect on the backyard is minor. Like I said, we've added open space for the top unit. And so generally we just don't feel like this affects anyone, and we get, you know, the advantage of the people who have these units, everybody can have a car. That's it.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item for item number 4, 2701 21st Street? No, seeing no public comment, I am aware that we've received a letter in opposition to the project about the impacts on mid-block open space. I have reviewed that, but I would at this point be inclined to grant the requested variance. As you noted, it is a very minor expansion of what is an existing garage to accommodate an additional parking space without having any impacts on the on-street presence of parking, because the curb cut will be remaining as existing, so it is a net addition of off-street parking. So again, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2016-005320VAR, 3110 Clay Street, exposure variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Serena Calhoun. I am the project architect for the property located at 3110 Clay Street. This is installation of a new accessory dwelling unit under the soft story retrofit program. The property is located on Clay Street at Baker, is the cross. It was constructed per city records in 1902. The property itself does slope fairly dramatically from the very front entrance of the building to the rear yard. It is built on a fairly substantial hill, and as you come around the corner up Bay Street, the property that's directly to the rear of us is up pretty much a whole story. So this is an image of the backyard of our property. The reason that we are here is we're requesting a variance for the exposure area. The 15 feet by 15 feet perfect rectangle, perfect square, is not entirely achievable, except that because we are bound by the confines of the existing rear yard. So the rear yard itself is 15 feet 8 inches deep and 25 feet wide, and the unit faces onto that. However, because of the slope of the site, there is a retaining wall a few feet away, about 5 feet away from the rear wall of the building, and then there are, because of existing conditions, two projecting bays that extend out over the windows on the back. So you can see that here. This is the back wall of the building. This is the rear property line. This square here represents the 15 feet by 15 foot area. And then the bedroom window and the living room window face into the yard, but these little arches reflect the existing projecting. The unit itself is a large two-bedroom. We provided two bedrooms, one bathroom, a very nice kitchen, and a very large living space. And in an effort to obtain as much natural light as possible, the bedroom in the front utilizes an existing window which faces a light court that is 3.5 feet by, I want to say around 22 feet 8. And then there's also another little very small 3.5 feet by 3.5 feet light well, kind of midway up the tradesman route also, that provides another window into the living space. So we've made every effort to utilize the existing light wells on multiple sides of the unit in order to achieve as much natural light into the unit as possible. There is another light well on this side, which we wanted to utilize. However, this wall right here, that is the back wall of the kitchen and fronts onto the utility space, is one of the main shear walls that our engineer is utilizing as part of the upgrade. That's it.
Thank you. Could you go to the section, please?
Yes.
So this is where I had concerns about
Sure. The
proposal. It's my understanding from staff that you may have a revised scheme, because the upsloping lot here, it is also, you know, it doesn't meet the dimensional requirements for exposure. It has this steep upslope, as you noted.
Correct.
And it's also north-facing.
It's north-facing,
so there are
right.
a lot of negatives to that. I mean, I think you have provided a very well-designed, sizable unit that would be a great home. My concern is the exposure. But staff said that you may have an alternative proposal.
We submitted a revision, I want to say a week and a half ago or so, in which the retaining wall in the rear, you can see it kind of illustrated here. So the street is out here, and this is the garage space, and then we had to excavate down just a little bit further to get a reasonable ceiling height in the unit. So this is our unit here, and then you can see how much it slopes up to this 15 feet here, and actually the building on the property around the corner from us starts right here. Mm-hmm. So our proposal, our revision that you should receive shortly, is that we would cut this retaining wall down to 3 feet and then set back another tier of the garden, and then do another retaining wall that's about 3 feet, and then landscape the rear. So that will provide a little bit more distance from our rear window to those kind of tiers and provide a nice view out the rear.
Thank you. Yes, and I have those plans dated the 8th of this month, so September 8th.
Right. Terrific.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment on this item number 5 for 3110 Clay Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance based upon the revised plans dated September 8th, which have additional retaining walls to provide additional exposure, light, and air to the proposed ADU. Thank you. Thank you.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2015-001162VAR, 645 Peralta Avenue, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, good morning. My name is Mason Kirby. I'm the project architect. Our project involves the construction of a new dwelling unit in the crawl space below the first floor of an existing single-family home. It seeks to create an additional unit in a zone area zoned RH2 so that we would be bringing the total property into compliance with that zoning designation. We're seeking a variance for a rear yard incursion as well as access to light and air for that last unit. In the site plan, I would show you that the existing building and roof decks are already in the 45% required rear yard. Much like the prior project, there's an opportunity to provide space in the crawl space area, and in this case, the building has an enormous crawl space that we're seeking to take advantage of. I'm going to go to the section if I could. The section describes the existing single-family home on two levels in dark outline, and the new single-family dwelling unit labeled number 2, wholly contained within the existing crawl space area. But due to the nature of the sloping lot, we are proposing, number 1, that unit be built within the existing envelope, which is in the rear yard setback. But we are also seeking relief, literally, from the planning code for the placement of 2 new decks that would allow each of the resultant units to have access to open space, given the nature of the slope of the lot. We think that the exceptional circumstances relate specifically to the existing home, which was built as a single-family residence, and the fact that, you know, now it's an RH2 zone. We think this is a good use of an existing building envelope that creatively mitigates any significant impact on the nature of the neighbors. I would note that the project is also bounded. It's on Peralta Avenue. Its front facade is on Peralta Avenue. But the side elevation is actually on Mayflower. So we have the opportunity to have independent side access on an unimproved street. And if you have questions, I'm happy to answer them for you.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. So item number 6 for 645 Peralta. There's no public comment, as I see. I mean, I think I don't have any issues or concerns with
there the... public comment.
Okay, thank you. Please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Terry Milne. I'm a resident of Bernal Heights. I would like to speak to you about the Mayflower right-of-way. It's a culture and character of Bernal, that we address our open spaces in a very careful way. And in this case, the two blocks uphill on Mayflower are aggressively landscaped and have been cared for many years. And it seems like if somebody's going to get a variance to enlarge a building and put decks and units in it, that perhaps as a condition of the variance, they should be encouraged or directed to landscape and care for the Mayflower right-of-way adjacent. And it's, I understand it may not be the whole right-of-way as their responsibility, but nonetheless, it could certainly be improved, and we landscape, we garden, we put slides in our street rights of way, and I think we should do it in this block. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item, number 6 for 645 Peralta? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal, and perhaps you could address some of the issues that were raised there.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a picture of the face of the building which abuts the Mayflower right-of-way. And to be clear, we are anticipating as part of our project that we will improve a, quote, sidewalk extension that infills between the side of the building and out toward the right-of-way. I happen to know that, you know, my client is definitely interested in the nature of the improvement of the Mayflower right-of-way and would actively, you know, welcome the opportunity to participate in it. I don't have the techniques or methods at my disposal to understand how that might specifically relate to the approval of a variance, but, you know, we'd certainly be welcome to.
So part of the proposal you have would assume require an encroachment permit from Public Works to do the development that you're proposing in the public right-of-way. Have you had discussions with Public Works about your proposals?
At this point, for a simple sidewalk extension, we've only had a preliminary meeting saying this is what we want to do. There has been no discussion relating to the specifics of how you would plant an area of street or, you know, an unimproved right-of-way in that respect. We were just looking to make sure that we could verify access from the street. I have one other photo, if I might leave the lectern
sure.
And show you. Try and get both of these on there at the same time. The lower photo is the existing home, and if you'll note, there's a white fire hydrant in the lower right portion of the picture. The upper photograph shows the larger blow-up of that sort of intersection where we would be looking to, you know, improve the sidewalk. So that helps give context. Again, we have not specifically addressed the question of how to landscape the right-of-way or what our obligations would be with DPW in that respect.
What's the that lattice box covering? Is that covering utilities or that's next to the left of the fire hydrant?
I don't know, sir.
Touch the building. Okay.
I don't know. It very well could be a meter cabinet.
And is there going to be sufficient width there to provide access sidewalk improvement down to the unit?
I believe there will be, yes. We can actually come to the other side of the to the fire hydrant as well, according to the survey.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I mean, I don't have any concerns with the variance aspect with regards to the lower level improvements that facilitate the addition of the unit. I was having some concerns with the what's deck A on the plans, the upper level deck, but seeing how the adjacent property is developed with decks that extend even further into the rear yard than what you're proposing, I think it could be supportable. I think one concern, I appreciate Mr. Millen's comments about making some improvements to the public right-of-way. I mean, one concern I would have here, and it's great that you're able to make some improvements to facilitate access to the unit, I think the concern would be that somehow in some way that's going to be privatizing that space. So I'm hoping that there would be improvements beyond what you're proposing just for the unit and just to access the unit, but something that could be of more benefit and enjoyment to the community as a whole.
Okay.
So I mean, I think at this point I would take the matter under advisement. I'm generally inclined to support the variance, but would like to have some further discussions and thoughts about what could be done to improve. And certainly it's not expected that your client improve the whole public right away, but, you know, just, and I don't think that's the expectation of Mr. Millen either, but, you know, there could be perhaps discussions with Mr. Millen. He could explain some of the other improvements that have been done in the neighborhood and see how this could be part of a community effort to make improvements.
Yeah, I would tell you as well, we've held off on filing a site permit, so I can imagine where that would be, you know, the subject of the site permit as well.
Okay. So. All right. Thank you. So with that, again, public hearing is closed. Take the matter under advisement, but generally inclined to support the variance. More discussion and thought about the public right-of-way improvements, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2016-006208 VAR, 148 Saturn Street, rear yard variance sought.
Hello, my name is Priscilla Hunter, and I'm here on Paul de Jesus is the building designer. So first up, thanks for taking the hearing, variance meeting this morning, and agreeing to hear our request to construct a set of external stairs that will provide access from the third floor unit to the roof deck. A quick call out to Nancy Tran. She's been great, by the way, in helping us get this far. So that's terrific. Quick overview of the house, which you can see in the middle section here. It was pretty run down when we first purchased it in 2014. The low unit, for example, was uninhabitable, water intrusion and foundation issues. But obviously we're happy to be able to add that back to the city's housing stock. We're aiming in this development to meet some of the city's housing goals. We're staying within the building envelope and building three affordable units in terms of design, price point, and size. The top unit, which is the one in question, is going to be approximately 1,130 square feet, two bedrooms, two bathrooms. In terms of the roof deck, we want to create an open space, approximately 350 square feet, accessible via this external staircase, which is the variance in question, and it's going to be for the sole use of the top floor unit. Really most beneficially, by providing the external access to the roof deck, we can actually keep the second bedroom in this unit. We believe, obviously, that that will make it more appealing for a young family who potentially want to enjoy the outdoors and the beautiful bay views that this property affords. So really there are four main reasons for the variance request, why we're asking for it. First up, the external stair access to the roof deck is to provide open space, obviously, for outdoor fun and enjoyment, which many residents in the neighbourhood already have. Secondly, placing the stairwell inside the unit would compromise the programming of the third floor apartment by taking away a bedroom in what's already a fairly small-sized apartment, again, about 1,130 square feet. So an external staircase is therefore the only way to gain access to the roof deck. Thirdly, by constructing the structure, we're asking for a modest extension of the staircase from an already existing condition. And we don't believe that implementing this would be injurious to anyone. And then finally, we've tried to be sensitive to potential neighbour concerns. So we're not introducing any structures on the roof deck, no rooftop penthouse, for example. We're not blocking any neighbour views or sight lines, and we're not blocking any light, as the only visible element of the staircase will be the edges of the stair treads. So that really are those are the reasons that we'd like the external staircase.
Thank you. So notice the original version of this did have an addition at that level where the stairs are now proposed, but the project's been revised to just have the stairs in response to, I think, the residential design team.
Yes.
And then the deck itself does not require a variance. Mm-hmm. It's allowed and per interpretation, that it's not an intensification of the non-complying structure. It's just the stairs that provide access to the entry of the variance. And oops, we'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 7 for 148 Saturn Street. Seeing none, we close public hearing, being inclined to grant the requested variance based upon the revised plans that the project sponsors have submitted and to provide the stairs which access usable open space on the roof.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2016-005563VAR, 2300 Mason Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello, my name is Geddes Ulinskis. I'm the architect for 2300 Mason Street. So the property right now is located at the corner of Mason and Francesco. It comes to 5 feet of the adjacent building on Francesco. So that's really the only open space on the lot, is a 5-foot alleyway that's been set back on the north of the property. The project currently is 3,348 square feet. It is currently 3 stories of commercial use. So these are photos of the project right now. So there's an entrance on the corner of Mason and Francesco, and currently all 3 floors of this existing building are all office space. The proposal is to keep 1,300 square feet of the building, which is essentially the first floor, as commercial, and turn the top 2 floors, which are currently about 2,000 square feet, into residential. There's also an internal expansion to sort of expand within a two-story space in the envelope to also add 200 square feet. So the residential square footage will be 2,200 square feet, and it will be a single unit above a commercial ground floor unit. So the proposal or the request for the variance is for an exception to the exposure and rear yard setback requirement. I believe the extraordinary circumstance here is that we do have a corner lot. And if you take a look at the plans for the proposed residence, you can see that there's quite a bit of exposure that you will get from the building as it's currently constructed with its exposure on Mason Street and Francesco. It has windows to the south and to the west at the upper floor, and also on the ground on the second floor as well. It has windows all along the south and to the west. So I don't believe the proposed residence will lack any access to daylight or exposure. The one other thing I'd like to point out is currently the elevation along Francesco Street, it's not very accessible. It's just a wall with a few high windows in it, and the corner is currently the entrance, and the proposal is actually to also add a residential entrance at this location and maintain the commercial entrance at the corner. And so the proposed elevation, actually you'd have a set of entrance doors here along Francesco, which I believe would make the building a little more accessible and not as stark along the Francisco Street elevation. And all the adjacent buildings, this would be consistent with the residential buildings in that area. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item number 8 for 2300 Mason Street? Seeing none, close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance to allow the conversion from office use to residential use for 1 dwelling unit. Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2016-006075VAR, 3874 17th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor for this? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm John Peterson. I'm the project architect. This is a fairly simple project. It's the rebuilding of an existing deck. The existing deck has been there for about 20 years or more. It's in pretty bad condition, a lot of rotting wood, and our request is just to rebuild it in kind. When we applied for a permit, we realized that when the previous owner had constructed the deck, it was not done with the permit, so now us replacing it doesn't comply with the required rear yard. We have reduced the proposed deck in size. We've replaced the current linear stair with the spiral stair, which reduces the footprint. We pushed the size of the deck back from the rear property line. We can't to reduce it anymore to comply with current code would either eliminate the stair or reduce the usable square footage of the actual deck so that the client really couldn't have any proper seating. So I believe that we've minimized the deck size as much as possible. It is a very desirable aspect of the house when the owner purchased it a couple years ago, uses it on a daily basis. We did talk to the neighbor that this deck adjoins. They don't have any problem with rebuilding the deck, and we haven't heard from any other neighbors that rebuilding it would be a problem.
Okay. Thank you. And you noted that the existing deck appears to have been built without permit, but you're not aware of any complaints that are on record with DBI or any other agency about it. It's just it's time to replace it. And
exactly, yes.
All right. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 9 for 3874 17th Street. Seeing no public comment, we close public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to what will be our last item.
Item number 10, case number 2013.0961V, 214 Corbett Avenue, front setback variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Bruce Rodriguez, and I'm here with my husband, Steve Lingo. we're here to talk about a fence that we built without obtaining a permit, and the circumstances are that we were new homeowners and didn't realize that that was something that we needed to do. We purchased our home in 2009 during the economic downturn. I was laid off of work shortly after that, and quite frankly, our front fence was falling apart and coming apart in our hands as we were walking up and down the stairs. Not knowing that a permit was required, I hired a reputable fencing company to build a new fence. The fence was constructed of quality materials and used the same footings as the older fence. The fence height and differing ratio of materials were the only changes. We chose this fence construction for safety and security. Our house was vacant for a period while it was for sale, but before we moved in. Homeless individuals were found sleeping to the front and side of the property. The house is located within feet of the Corbin stairs, which connect 17th Street and Corbett Avenue. This stairway has been a collection site for homeless and a pass-through for quick exits from the neighborhood. When we moved in the inn, several neighbors warned us about automotive and residential theft in the neighborhood and asked us to keep vigilant. To this day, there remains a consistent criminal presence due to the neighborhood's proximity to Market Street and to 17th Street, both busy thoroughfares facilitating quick exits from our neighborhood. There is an exceptional circumstance which makes our property unique. Our property is raised from the street by up to 10 feet. Since we were so close to the Corbin stairs, our fence and gate are what deters homeless and property crime. This scenario is not shared equally by all of our neighboring properties. The elevation is exceptional. It provides a degree of privacy for the homeless or for an intruder. And most neighboring homes along Corbett Avenue directly border the street at street level without a setback. Our most immediate neighbors to either side of our single-family home are apartment building. One edges the street while the other is set back many yards. The side elevation of our property requires a fence higher than 3 feet for safety. As I've mentioned, one side of our property drops off 10 feet to the sidewalk. The literal enforcement of the specified provisions of the code to a fence side of no more than 3 feet would in itself create an exceptional financial liability for us, where this type of liability does not exist presently and where liability was not found before the new fence was built. The old picket fence was angled upward with one end higher than 3 feet. This variance would ensure the intended purpose of the fence, safety and security. Our initial basis for the new fence came directly from our neighbors. As I've stated, several neighbors warned us of crime in the area shortly after we moved in, and we were targets of several petty crimes, including our trash cans being stolen, an intruder fled when we confronted them. And just as a note, when we posted the sign for this upcoming hearing, this sign was torn down 3 to 5 different times. And in one time, the perpetrator was so bold as they actually balled up the sign and threw it over the fence onto our private property. There are several properties along our immediate stretch of Corbett Avenue which have fences within the resident front setback areas and multiple solid wood fences to the back of the properties, and I have photographs of those as well. When we built the fence, we didn't realize this distinction. Since we rely on public transportation, the walk downhill towards the intersection of Corbett Avenue and Ord Street is specifically the portion of our neighborhood on which we based our fence. There is an extraordinary amount of fencing which directly edges Corbett Avenue along this stretch. We have pictures, and we modeled the look and style of our new fence specifically after an existing fence which does not adhere to the setback rules within yards of our home. Our current fence ensures the safe use of our property while it greatly increases the security of our family. The new fence does not detrimentally impact the public welfare or obstruct the visual enjoyment of our home. If anything, the current fence benefits our home's appearance. Our house is without ornamental embellishment and period detail. All neighboring homeowners have expressed their pleasure and visual enjoyment of the fence, and without exception, each neighboring homeowner we approached has signed a petition to maintain this fence in an unaltered state. Two of our nearest neighbors offered to come to this hearing or to attend via Skype in order to share their neighborhood experience with vandalism and property crime. I'm running out of time, so in conclusion, we would have applied for a permit had we realized that one was necessary when we built the fence. We were new homeowners and naive. This variance process had been costly in time, money, and frustration, and we're truly sorry for our actions that have contributed to this process, but we're dedicated to our neighborhood and to our safe enjoyment of our home. Please, for the reasons outlined above, consider granting us the requested variance. As I mentioned, I do have photographs of other fences on our street. I also have signatures from 24 of our neighborhood property owners, including the 4 homeowners directly across the street from us and on either side who fully endorse the fence as it stands. And quite frankly, I haven't received one negative comment from anyone. So we were quite shocked when we received the notice of a complaint.
Okay. Thank you. And just to clarify, the code requirement is 3 feet above grade for a solid fence, 6 feet for a fence that's 75% open. So if this fence were to have had the 75% open, the transparency, it would have been allowed and would not have required the variance. So you're aware of that provision?
We are now, yes.
And I'm assuming,
go ahead.
I'm assuming that your contractor, just maybe a simple mistake, that under the building code you don't need a fence for permit for a fence that's less than 6 feet in height, and they were probably assuming that, since it didn't need a building permit, that it was going to be compliant with planning code requirements.
And that is what our understanding is. And the top of the fence is no higher than 6 feet from the bottom of the wall,
yeah.
But there are posts that extend a few inches above that as well.
All right. And I guess, and future, you're going to own the building for a long time.
We hope so.
And the future, any repairs or replacement would comply with the planning code, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. We don't want to go through this process again.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for, appreciate your presentation today. Let's see if there's any public comment in opposition. That would be a surprise. Seeing that no public comment, we close the public hearing, inclined to grant their requested variance. And we can, actually, we have no other items on the agenda today. Everything else has been continued. So we will see if there's any general public comment, which I don't think there is either. So we'll close the hearing today, reconvene on Wednesday, October 26, 2016.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez.
Thank you.